Now, I know before you're saying it's not a Monday, I appreciate. Today is Tuesday, but occasionally it happens that we have MLS Monday on a Tuesday. As always, though, we're joined by our Major League Soccer expert, Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome, sir.
Hey, Andy. It's good to be back and back to civilization. So happy here to be here to talk a little bit about Major League Soccer.
Well, we must talk, before we really go any further, we must talk about something where I'm starting to get the impression a lot of people are wondering if MLS is almost becoming a law unto itself. There's people recently who've said the fact there's no promotion and relegation. I think it's just the US and Australia that have that. So everyone say, well, you must have that. It's the rules. Then there's been recently the whole video assistant referee added mid-season. And now we're having another rule change mid-season.
Yeah, that's right. So MLS last week decided that they wanted to implement a fourth substitute rule for the Major League Soccer playoffs that are coming up around the corner. The fourth substitute will be allowed to enter the game only in extra time during the MLS playoffs, which, as we all know, this rule could completely change the complexity of the MLS playoffs down the road, being able to have a fresh man on for those last 30 minutes. Now, the rule has been approved by the International Football Association Board, so they're on board with this, and if I'm correct in saying, the FA Cup also implemented this rule for the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals of the 2016-17 version of the competition. But my real problem with this rule is just the timing of the introduction of it. I know the MLS Cup playoffs haven't begun yet. They won't begin for another few weeks. But, you know, it would be great if MLS would have just decided to announce this back in February or March before the season kicked off, much like the VAR. The video assistant referee, I think that it almost feels like to me that MLS has decided, well, you know what, we want to go ahead and implement these rules. We didn't do it before, and we're just going to change things as we go because we can do that. And I'm not a real big fan of that and would really prefer them to have their, you know, ducks in a row, if you will, before the season kicks off.
See, I'm with you in this. Maybe it's just because I'm a traditionalist or whatever, but I don't get rules changing in sports, even just specifically in leagues, midway through a season. Because if you started your preparations at the beginning of the season, so in this case in sort of January, February, running into March, you kind of know what the rules are at that stage. You prepare for that, and then the league comes in and goes, hey, we're going to change stuff. Where does it leave you as teams? I mean, your preparations, I guess you've still got time to get your head around this fourth sub idea, but it's that mid-season thing. If they'd just done it coming into this season, I wouldn't have a problem, but it's just, at this stage, how are teams supposed to plan for this?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as a fan of the league and someone who writes about the league, I also kind of see it as like a, you know, I don't know, I guess maybe a trust issue with the league, or, you know, just kind of that feeling that, well, what could happen around the corner next? And, you know, a few seasons ago, we saw that Major League Soccer implemented what is known as target allocation money, which basically allows teams to have a little bit more extra funds to use to pay for high-priced players. And, you know, that rule came into effect during the middle of the season, which greatly allowed all of a sudden LA Galaxy to sign Giovanni Dos Santos. So, you know, it's like these rules, it's not new. It's something that continues to seem to happen in Major League Soccer. And it's like, you know, as I said, one person gets an idea and they decide, well, let's just go ahead and do that and see if it works.
To give Major League Soccer credit over the years, it has had some more unusual rules that it's then got rid of over time. The one that immediately comes to my mind was when the league first came in. All my friends, because I was into it right from the off, and a lot of my friends were saying, well, you can't call this real football, because if the game ended in a tie, we had an NHL-style penalty kickoff or penalty. But it wasn't that thing. It wasn't a penalty. It was a run from the halfway line, and you one-on-one with the keeper. It was bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely. So during the early days of Major League Soccer, they thought that Americanizing the sport would make people, you know, more interested in watching it, which, you know, really wasn't the case. And the rule you're referring to is the 35-yard penalty shootout that Major League Soccer implemented from 1996 to 1998, where the attacking player would pick up the ball at the 35-yard line, and he had 5 seconds to go one-on-one with the keeper and to score. And this rule was actually adopted from the original North American Soccer League in the 70s and the 1980s, and it was actually a rule that some people were in favor of, including Johan Cruyff, who said he wanted to see the rest of football to implement this rule. But, you know, for you and me and other fans of the league, you know, it's not really something that that we really enjoy watching.
No, it definitely made it different. It definitely did, but yeah, I'm glad it's not there now. Drew, just looking at some of the scores from this weekend, one that really stands out to me particularly is Chicago and Toronto. They met this weekend. They were two teams that we've spoken about a lot, and Toronto coming away the happier from that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Toronto coming away with a 3-1 victory, and you know, they continue to set the pace in Major League Soccer. 50 points right now, that's four better than New York City FC, and really 20 points better than the best team in the Western Conference, which is the Houston Dynamo. And you know, while Toronto is doing, you know, playing the best soccer of any team in Major League Soccer, I think we really need to focus on Chicago as well, who have had a huge dip in form. They've lost five of their last six games, and this was a team that you and I talked about, we raved about, being one of the best teams in Major League Soccer, but it looks like they came out of the gate maybe a bit too strong, and now mid-season the fire is gone out, if you will. And you know, the team is still good enough at the moment to make the playoffs, but they're going to need to pick up some points because they've got some teams like the Red Bulls hot on their trails right now.
The other thing as well about this game is it bucks a trend that we're seeing this season. There's a real obvious skew in all the stats that say that home field advantage in Major League Soccer is a big deal at the moment.
Well, yes, home field advantage is a very big deal in Major League Soccer at the moment. And one report came out this yesterday that of the games this season so far in Major League Soccer, 150 times the home team has won compared to 58 away wins and 61 draws. Now, home field advantage is such a massive importance in Major League Soccer. And we look back to last year where the defending cup champions of 2015, Portland Timbers, went the whole season without an away win. And this season we've already seen three teams as we've got 25 games done in the Major League Soccer season, only about 10 games to go. Three teams right now, Colorado, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and New England, all without away wins. So again, showing how important home field advantage is. And most of that comes down to the travel that Major League Soccer teams must endure during the season, as well as the varying weather and climate. But going back to the travel, you and I have talked about in the past how teams such as Seattle and Portland, they've got to go from the northwest of the U.S. all the way down to the southeast to play Atlanta and Orlando City these days. And, you know, that travel takes a huge toll on the professional body. And keep in mind, these players are not flying first class. They're not flying chartered flights like, you know, you might see teams in the U.K., in the English Premier League. These teams are flying commercial. They're flying with the regular Joe. So there's a chance that any of our listeners or you and I, if we're traveling through the U.S., we could be on a flight sitting next to Kaká or sitting next to Bradley Wright Phillips or any other Major League soccer star. So, you know, it's not the greatest life in a way for travel in Major League Soccer. And, you know, you and I like to talk about little funny stories that happen with Major League Soccer. And, you know, one that I'm reminded of is from 2008 when the New England Revolution were on a flight from Boston to Los Angeles, and their commercial flight, they had an unruly passenger who attempted to open an emergency exit at 30,000 feet, and some of the New England Revolution coaches and staff members had to wrestle him to the ground. So, you know, it's a crazy world, Major League Soccer, all these different things, new rule changes, things like that coming about, the way that teams are traveling still, stays in the dark ages, if you will.
Yeah, the first time, I didn't know that until you said this. You said this to me a few weeks ago that they don't fly, certainly first class. They fly with us, and that surprised me, I have to say. But you know, it's an evolving league, I guess. And when you've got players coming in with the sort of wages that the likes of a Kaká and Schweinsteiger and so on are on, eventually there's going to be a lot of pressure, and enough pressure, I would have said, that they are going to have to start upping their travel class a little.
Yeah. In the future, hopefully, and during the days of David Beckham, because of the circus that was around him, you know, the Galaxy were able to fly a little bit different. But, you know, that was a rare exception compared to most of the teams in Major League Soccer.
Maybe we should look at it another way. Maybe that they're lucky that they fly rather than having to take Amtrak or so all across the States.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the classic American baseball movie Major League, where they have to travel via bus across America to make it to their away game. So You know, it could be worse, if you will, because if you've ever taken a Greyhound bus or any bus across America, it is unbelievable how difficult that trip can be. So, you know, it could always be worse.
Loving your Major League reference. Great film, that. Drew Farmer, as always, it's been a real pleasure to chat. Remember, if you want to talk more Major League Soccer with myself and Drew, if you're on Twitter, so we use the hashtag MLS Monday. We'll pick those up. Drew, though, let's see if we can get more Major League references in when we chat again in 7 days from now here on MLS Monday.
We'll definitely try to do that, as that is the greatest baseball movie of all time.